Log Talk Radio.
Blessings and greetings, greetings and blessings, blessed souls. We're alive because we've been blessed to stay alive in Torah Chaim. Instructions of life, Torah Chesed. Instructions of kindness, Torah Rachamim, instructions of mercies. You're now tuned into blogtalkradio.com, and we humbly suggest we're the higher frequency of blogtalkradio.com. We call ourselves Soul Class. This happens to be Soul Class 577. Heart to Heart from Jerusalem to the Rest of the World program, presentation number 55. Baruch Hashem, blessed is our Creator, shalom, peace, and bracha, blessing upon the human family experience. With Creator's help, we're now broadcasting live at 3:32 p.m. Holy Land, Jerusalem time, corresponding to 9:32 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, live from Turtle Island, a.k.a. the USA, unifying souls actually. Originally, we had intended that our program content will focus on being in discussion with international human rights activist Rabbi Dr. Eliezer Goldstock. However, Dr. Goldstock contacted me minutes before the program that he was caught up in a important logistical matter relating to the functioning of his international organization and the implementation of what the organization stands for, and will not be able to participate in today's program. So I will do a little solo effort reading and make a more shortened version of today's program presentation concerning heightening the sensitivities of any human being blessed and not stressed with their divine image to focus in on the fact that when you help a handy, capable human being, you yourself have become more capable. The tags for today's program are Eternal Creator, Divine Image, Universal Redemption, Rabbi Dr. Eliezer Goldstock, Heart to Heart, American, and last but not least, Children of Israel, collaborating with the children of Noah to reduce hatred, jealousy, and competition, which is not needed in the world. But in order to go on with the show, we have to dummy down the music from the Kashour Klezmer Band, who are playing a song which I don't know the name of, but it sounds awfully good. But let's go and lower the music. Sorry, guys. And on with the shoe. Okay. But so that since Eliezer is not with us today, Rabbi Goldstock, I'm going to read something concerning a historical event which transpired within one family, but as that one family was inspired, particularly the father, the person who authored this article, and this is to be found in a book called Dignified Differences, A Special Soul, Advice for People with Special Needs, from the teachings of the Rebbe, Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson. Excuse me for coughing. So what I'm going to be reading from is from the section of the book called The Struggle for Acceptance, written by Rabbi Dr. Solomon Williger, Chaplain Emeritus of the Brooklyn Office for People with Developmental Disabilities. And this is what he writes. Excuse me. I always recognize people with special needs as part of society to be respected and treated the same as others. In fact, In the early 1970s, there were several regulars with special needs at my synagogue in the Canarsie neighborhood of Brooklyn. When I became involved with people with special needs, the overall attitude towards this segment of our society was negative. Unfortunately, it was no different in the Jewish community. At the time, most of the Jewish population of people with special needs living here in New York City were housed at the Willowbrook State School, a large complex in Staten Island, New York. This facility was eventually shut down after an investigative report into its many failures. This allowed an entirely new approach to develop. By 1975, community-based homes were sprouting across the state. The state also opened the Brooklyn Developmental Center, where I eventually became a chaplain. However, developing homes in Jewish neighborhoods was extremely controversial. Jewish community leaders and B'nai Noach, or as the word might say, non-Jewish, again, I apologize for using that term, just Gentile community leaders, were unaware of the extent of the population of people with special needs. This was very painful for me and others involved with this situation. And now here, Rabbi Dr. Solomon Wolliger speaks about his son. My son, Dov was born with Down syndrome. Actually, I guess it's not his son, but he called him his son in this subsection of the article. Dov was born with Down syndrome. His biological parents were deeply distressed and soon chose not to keep the child. His mother would call him it and found it difficult to acknowledge him as a human being. Their 14th child was not like the others. However, before coming to a final resolution, they approached the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The Rebbe saw their great pain. He already saw that they had already come to a decision. When I later met the parents, Dov's father told me that the Rebbe said, quote-unquote, God should guide him in the right way. The parents made arrangements for Dov to be transferred to a home in upstate New York. The parents did not inform their children, who were mostly young adults at the time, and they understood they had a brother with Down syndrome, so they had assumed that their newborn brother died. When Dov resided in the institution, a woman of the Catholic faith took a great liking to him. She was kind enough to take Dov home for weekends and eventually was prepared to have Dov live with her on a permanent basis. When I found out this was happening, I immediately initiated tremendous efforts to keep Dov in a Jewish home. Clearly, my issues with this adoption had nothing to do with this wonderful woman who had nurtured, loved, and cared for Dov. Or Dov, I should say. The matter was that I felt it was critical to keep children in homes of their faith. The task was not easy, and many people were involved. At one point, I was told that I'd lose my job if I continued writing articles on the topic. I responded, quote-unquote, tell the commissioner, if this is the case, he does not need a Jewish chaplain. As a chaplain, my job is to advocate and ensure that Jewish people do not enter homes outside their faith, responded Wolliger. At one point, I nearly gave up, and I wrote to the Rebbe, who took great interest in Dov, that I might quit the case. I felt that his birth parents had given him up, so why must I do more than them? The Rebbe's response is unequivocal. You must continue your efforts. We were ultimately successful. Yet the tribulations were just beginning. The task of finding a Jewish home for the boy was overwhelming and futile. Through the process, Dov frequently spent Shabbat at my home where my wife and children welcomed him. Then the Hebrew Academy for Special Children, otherwise known as HASC, agreed to take care of Dov's educational needs. Eventually, my family graciously agreed that Dov should live with us and join our family in every way. Dov, since the age of 5, has been an integral part of our family, and we've watched him grow into a fine and healthy young man. I feel that today, as the Rebbe said, God miraculously guided Dov in the right way. However, there are many others who are not as lucky, and we need to ensure that they will not be abandoned. Concerning religious observance, one of my partners in advocating for people with special needs was Dr. Robert Wilkes, a social worker at Long Island Hospital and chairman at Region 2 Council for Mental Health. He once wrote to the Rebbe of saintly memory, seeking his guidance. In his response, the Rebbe clearly embraced the concept of community-based homes for people with special needs and offered fundamental suggestions on how to implement them. The Rebbe also discussed the importance of integrating religious practice into the lives of Jewish people with special needs. The Rebbe wrote, quote-unquote, if the child is involved in Jewish education activities, and not in some general and peripheral way, but in a regular and tangible way, such as in the actual performance of mitzvahs, customs, and traditions, it would give him a sense of belonging and attachment, and firmly anchorage to hold onto it, whether consciously or subconsciously. Rabbi Wilger went on to say, I have seen this with my own eyes. Dov loves to attend synagogue, put on tefillin, and pray daily. He feels very connected to all the Jewish holidays. I also see this on a regular basis in our weekly religious services at the developmental center. As much as the attendees act out in different times, during services there is rarely an issue. In addition, when we organize Jewish holiday events, they love them, bond with them, and fully participate, each one on his or her level. On the morning of Dov's bar mitzvah, we went to pray at Lubavitcher World Headquarters. I suggested that Dov receive a relatively easy task during the Torah reading so that someone should help him. Yet he was called up to the Torah to receive an Aliyah. The Lubavitcher Rebbe was there and was anxious that Dov might make a mistake while reciting the blessing, be uncooperative, and make a scene. Yet Dov proudly stepped up to the Torah and recited the blessings fluently. When it came to Dov's bar mitzvah celebration, we made a grand event. The Rebbe sent two letters, one just for Dov and one to us. As we had written on the invitation, the Rebbe did not refer to him as our son, but rather as Mr. Dov. Yet he wished us mazel tov and wrote that we should derive, quote-unquote, much spiritual delight from him, end of quote. This gesture from the Rebbe was very moving and showed his appreciation for our efforts. I would like to note, when I met Dov's biological father shortly before the bar mitzvah, I told him of the upcoming celebration, and he himself purchased a pair of tefillin for Dov. Now, the subtitle for this section of the article, called The Group Home, in a letter to the first Conference on Mental Retardation in 1980, when we organized under the Jewish Community Relations, JCRC, which took place at the New York offices of the UJA, United Jewish Agency Federation, the Rebbe was unequivocally against calling people with special needs, quote-unquote, retarded. He suggests that we refer to them as special people. The Rebbe explained that retardation implies a permanent and hopeless condition. However, people with special needs can be educated and trained to progress. This is clear to me, and today, many years later, is standard practice. We know now that with early intervention, special education, and proper health care, as well as opportunities to reside in the mainstream, this segment can adapt well to a socialized lifestyle in the community. They are regular people. They feel, think, and hope just like everyone else. Despite their limitations, people with special needs are more similar to them, different from the average person, such as, say, myself or Eliezer, anyone hopefully is listening out there. Having such a family member only means that one will need a little more patience. Perhaps the most debated topic is group homes and how they should function. On this topic, the Rebbe wrote to Dr. Wilkes, quote unquote, I believe that the approach should be the same as in the case of all pupils or students who spend part of their time in group environments, meaning school, dormitory, summer camp, etc., and part of their time in the midst of their families, whether every day or at weekends, etc. Only by individual approach and evaluation can be determined which individual fits into which category, end of quote. This approach has been extremely successful in many Jewish homes. In our case, Dov comes home from his group home on a weekly basis. We spend quality time together while enjoying his constant growth and development. At the Hask residence, he is in a wonderful environment. We never anticipated the impact Dov would have on our lives. Ultimately, as much as we did for him, Dov has given more to us. And now, with the emphasis on the concept of special strengths, gleaning from teachings from the Rebbe, people with special needs are referred to as because they have special strengths. Therefore, calling them special is not, God forbid, demeaning. It is only praise for their virtues, spiritual strengths. Those with limited physical capabilities were created by God with abundant spiritual assets. This great spiritual strength gives him or her the ability to overcome any handicap. So at this point in time, blessed souls, we're going to close down the program because, again, we don't have Eliezer. And I'm sure he would have added some very pungent commentary and elucidation about what I just discussed. But with that being said, of course, all of this has to take place with a little help from Hashem, with a little help from Creator, which is really for us a tremendous amount, any amount of assistance we access from above. And therefore, we're going to end off, as we usually do with these program presentations, of heart to heart, from Jerusalem to the rest of the world. Hopefully, we will be joined by Eliezer next week. In the meantime, may all of our actions to help handicapable people transpire in a way of ahavachad, one love, goralachad, one destiny kolono for all of us, b'darchi noam, in a peace way, darchi shalom, in a pleasant way, lahamshich b'ezer Hashem yisbreak, to be continued with the help of the Most High. And I have to remember you, blessed soul, I have to remind you, blessed souls, because it's my duty to do so. It's my mitzvah. You've got to do good. Why have you got to do good? Even though that might generate some ambivalency and some anxiety, some ajita. Because Teva Tov Lehetiv, it is the nature of the good to do good, and the Creator is the source of all goodness, put you on this planet to do good. As Rav Hillel Meparich, a noted student of three, and chassid, and devotee to three Lubavitcher Rebbes, Chabad Rebbeim, said, it is better to be good than it is to be right. So go ahead and do good, and hopefully in the process we'll also be right in the, as well. For those who understand what I'm saying, I'm sure you do. For those who don't, think about it for a moment. You've got to be good because you have a divine image will help you get out and scrimmage. Your Tzelem Elokim will help you realize this is, life is no dream, but it's a precious gift given from the Most High. And now here we go. Without further ado, the Yeshiva Diaspora Band with a little help from Hashem. Take care, everyone.
What would you think if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Bend your ears and I'll sing you a song, and I'll try not to sing out of key. Because I get vibes, a little help from Hashem. I get hives, a little help from Hashem, of course. Gonna try, a little help from Hashem. So would you believe in a love that turns dying?
Trying to make matches like that around here all the time.
What do you see when you turn out the lights? Well, I heard she's from a very nice family. I get by with a little help from Hashem. I get high with a little help from Hashem. I'm gonna try with a little help from Hashem.
Oh, we need here.
Do you need anybody? I said I want somebody to love.
Ah, about Hashem.
Could it be anybody? Oh, I said someone so high up above. I get high with a little help from Hashem. I get high with a little help from Hashem. I'm gonna try with a little help from Hashem.
All right, everybody on the chorus.
Do you need anybody? I want somebody to love. Could it be anybody? I said someone so high up above.
Let's go.
I get by with a little help from Hashem. I get high with a little help from Hashem. I'm going to try with a little help from Hashem.
With a little help from Hashem.
Thank you very much.